Dropping the Needle. You're listening to Dropping the Needle, the podcast where all music from all genres is discussed. New releases, classic albums, rediscovered music, signed and unsigned. No ass kissing. Just two guys talking about music. Here are your hosts, Michael Brandvold from Michael Brandvold Marketing and Mitch LaFon.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Dropping the Needle. I am one of your co-hosts, Michael Brandvold, and today I am chatting with a really, really, really special guest, Susie Quatro. I mean, Susie, I can't tell you what an honor it is to actually be on the phone with you here.
That's very, very sweet of you. Thank you very much. I mean, appreciate it.
You are somebody, and I'm sure you've heard this from many people, I grew up with you. I mean, my first exposure to you, and I'm sure this is many people, was Happy Days.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and I had already been having, you know, lots of hits.
I know. Yeah. You were an established artist before that, and that was... So many young guys first discovered Susie as a character on Happy Days.
Is
that something? Let me ask you in all honesty. Is that something that kind of has typecast you?
No, actually, I made sure it didn't. Don't forget, I started in '73 having hits all around the world, so. I was already well established. 1977, we're talking in America, so I was already touring nonstop with, I'd sold maybe 45 million records by that time. And then when I did the Happy Day show, they actually offered me a spinoff series in 79.
I read that on your wiki page. What was the premise of that series going to be?
I wasn't sure, but I declined because I didn't want to be typecast. I've done lots of acting stuff since then, you know. But Happy Days was such a popular show. You know what I mean? You can't have it. I mean, we still think of Richie Cunningham, you know.
Exactly.
It's just going to be there forever. And that's something to be proud of, not something to be ashamed of.
Right. So was there a point when you first started – thinking about and then ultimately doing Happy Days where you were maybe advised by management or other people of, you know, that's not something a serious musician would do?
Some people said that sometimes. I, not very many, one or two here and there, but I myself think it was one of the best decisions I ever made. It gave me a second lease of life. It added another string to my bow. I was acting, you know. I was very happy to do it. If I had it all to do again, I would do it the same way, and I would even do it longer. I wouldn't have come out in 79.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That's good to hear, because prior to talking to you, I sort of felt like, you know, I wonder if she really, you know, looks back at that Happy Days and go, boy, was that the best thing for my career.
It was great.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I could only go over there for X amount of time because I was back in the charts with If You Can't Give Me Love, which was a big, big hit for me, stumbling in, hitting America. So everything was happening for me then. And I'm the kind of artist that likes to explore all the avenues of artistry, which is why I've written a book. I've had my radio show since 1999 on BBC Radio 2. I just completed a one-woman show called Unzip, like my autobiography. I'm the kind of person although rock and roll, let me put it this way, rock and roll is my touchstone. It's the air that I breathe. I couldn't exist without my rock and roll. That was never going to be all I did.
Right. Okay. I mean, because you're a creative person at heart, so creativity comes out in different ways.
And believe it or not, I've actually got a poetry book ready to come out.
Oh, that's cool. It's very cool.
I know. And I've sent it to a few people who know me very well, and they've all said, oh, my God, this is not what we expected.
Sometimes that's a good thing. You know, that shows you can break out of that mold that everybody puts you in.
Oh, yeah. I don't like to be typecast. My touchstone, I mean, most people think of the bass guitar and the leather suit and the rock and roll. And that's fine because that's a huge part of who I am, but it's certainly not everything.
Well, I got to say, I think of the gold lamé suit.
That's a nice one. That's yeah.
So here's...
I think you're thinking of the back shot on that, aren't you? You know, let's be honest here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got you right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page here.
I work with Ron Young, who is the lead singer of a band called Little Caesar, and he had mentioned in passing that that photo of you in that gold suit was something that helped him get through puberty.
I'll tell you what, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard that, and it's so cute. I love it, and it makes me laugh.
It is interesting to hear that. I'm sure it is.
Well, so, I'm glad I was of help. Can I just say to all the young people, I'm glad I could help you.
So here's another question that I'm sure you get a lot. Why have you not performed in the U.S. for so long?
Oh, Jesus. You know, I don't know why this happened, but it did. But saying that, I'm making inroads now. I'm trying to come back for 2014, which is my 50th anniversary in the business. I don't know how this happened. I had kids in 82 and 84, so I wasn't, you know, touring as much in those few years. And then just, I don't know, we just didn't come back. I don't know why. Every time something... So somebody tried to call and book us up. It didn't come to fruition. So I don't know why this is. They say everything happens for a reason. I'm dying to get back here. I will get back here. I've put the feelers out, and I want to get back here for the year 2014. So, you know, we need a campaign here. Get Susie back to America.
I got to imagine that when a tour finally gets announced for you, it's got to go over like gangbusters just because you haven't been here in so long.
Exactly. And I will. Do it. You have my promise. I will do it.
I'm holding you to that because I follow the posts and stuff on Facebook, and I'm like, man, she plays Russia, but she doesn't play the United States.
I know. It's a case of getting, you know, that's a long way to come just for one or two shows. So what you need to do is get a string of dates. I've got a couple people now looking at it. I said, here's what I want to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they can string it together. Yeah, I'm here. I mean, the good thing is I'm playing in Detroit on April 19th at the DMA Awards. I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, which I should have gotten last year. But as you know, I had that bad accident where I broke my right knee and my left wrist. I had to learn to walk again and play bass again. But it doesn't matter. I'm better than ever because once you learn it again, then you really learn it. So I'm playing there on the April the 19th. I'm going to do four songs with Detroit musicians and the Motor City Horns, which I'm really looking forward to. And in Austin, Texas, I think it is October 24th, I'm getting another Lifetime Achievement Award there from Meow for Women's Thing. And I'm going to do the keynote speech and also play four songs.
Oh, very.
So maybe this is the first little entry back into my home country.
Yeah. But, you know, we want a full-blown Susie Quattro rock and roll tour.
Nobody wants it more than me. You know, I want to zip up that suit and kick some serious ass.
There you go. So you mentioned 50 years, 2014
yes.
is 50 years. And I believe you're working on a retrospective box set?
Yes, I'm excited about it. It's an anthology. And the company I'm working with, which is Cherry Red, they want to put out a real special one, which I'm happy about, a big one, you know, chronicling my entire career. So I've now got the job of going back home to my ego room. You know, my ego room is famous now. And looking through all the tapes and pictures and this and that and video footage. And I just want this to be really special. So I'm working real hard on it, that it's got everything in it that I think a fan would like.
Cool. That's very cool. Do you think it's going to also include some DVD video material?
Yes, I want to. I mean, I've got, you know, in this ego room in my home, there's everything. I mean, if you went up there, you wouldn't come down for 6 days.
You know, it's a museum.
Yeah, you just don't come out. It's because it's funny because people go up there and they go up just to see it. And then it, of course, ignites all their memories.
Right.
And then they start looking at things, and before you know it, you're looking at a video, you're pulling out a scrapbook. But yes, it will contain some video footage. I need to find the right stuff to put on there. So I will have to go up and spend some time and do some viewing because I really want this to be my project. I don't know if you know, but in October of last year, I did a one-woman show called Unzipped.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That was my dream of mine, you know, when I had a chance to write the script while I was injured because I couldn't do anything else. I was on that walker for 4 months, you know?
Right.
And it was great. And I'm going to do that again. That was just, it's me taking you through my life, you know, telling stories and all that, but it's a lot more than that. It's got clips and it's got pictures and it's got certain bits of unplugged music that you would never believe I would do. And of course, ending with me being me. So, like I said, I've had that on my burner, on my oven for a long time. And I finally saw that come to fruition, just like the poetry book. I started collecting poems since the age of seven, you know?
The one-woman show sounds very interesting. That's something that I think would be very cool to do, like a limited tour of the U.S. of, you know, San Francisco, L.A., Chicago, New York.
God, I would love to do that. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to look into that, too, because I think that, you know, and by the way, it's an intimate show. It's not the kind of thing that you want to put in big 3,000 seaters, you know.
Right,
it's more like your smaller venues where you're in the room with me.
Right.
That's how that show works. But, hey, that's not bad. I like it. I wouldn't want it to be bigger. I like that. The rock and roll concert, you can make it 60,000. I don't care, you know.
Right. So do you think there's going to be any new music in the anthology?
Well, I'm in talks with Mike Chapman right now, and we're meeting up in New York next week. So we'd like to put a few new things on it. We have to discuss what, which I'm sure he'll have his own ideas. I mean, Mike's always been the right producer for me. You know, we work well together. I mean, In the Spotlight was fabulous. Had the best critics of my entire career with that album. We are talking about it now. There will be some new tracks within the anthology, of course.
I got to tell you that personally, I think Back to the Drive is an amazing album.
You know what? I can't believe how many people say that. It's and thank you, because it's mainly my songs. There's only two songs on it I didn't write. And that makes me feel really appreciated as an artist and a songwriter. And without it meaning to be, it ended up representing 15 years of my life. I don't know how it happened. It just did.
Yeah, it sort of felt like an album of you doing just the title Back to the Drive. Anybody who's a Susie fan kind of can go, oh, okay, I can kind of Devil's Gate Drive. Am I going back to the drive? It felt like you were looking back at your career.
That's what I was doing, and every single song had a reason for being written. And when you put your heart and soul on the line like that, which I did. I mean, every song is true, and it just came out of me, you know. And all the fans kept saying, this is the best one, and blah, blah, blah. And it actually led me to writing Unzipped, the autobiography. I thought, well, if you like that, okay, now it's time to write my book.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a good period, and I'm glad that I got to get that out there, because I was close to every single piece of music that went on that album, and it means something to me. And when you're an artist, the best thing is when you're writing something, you're communicating it to the audience, and the audience gets it and throws it back. Well, there you are. My life is happy.
Right. You know, the way I judge an album from being good to great is it an album that stays now on my iPhone? It used to be your iPad, and then it used to be your CD player. But is it an album that is always on my iPhone? You know, music comes and goes. But that is one of the few albums, I'd probably say there's, 10 albums that no matter what, it's always on there because I can always go back to it. It always sounds fresh. It always sounds energetic. It's just an album that I love to listen to,
Thank you.
Every few weeks. It just, you hit the play on it. It's like,
that's great.
Good.
Thank you very much. Can I ask you now, do you have a favorite track?
I actually love the opening track, Back to the Drive. The guitar sound in that sounds so in your face, crunchy, raw.
It is in your face. Yeah,
I actually pulled that guitar solo out and used that as a ringtone for a short period.
Oh, that's
of time.
Nice. That's,
because
yeah.
It just. But 15 Minutes of Fame. That's a great one. Actually, Rockin' in the Free World. You do an awesome version of that.
Yeah, we actually opened the show with that. That really suits me, that song.
So, I mean, I think why it works for me is, unlike so many albums that get released nowadays, so many people have one great song, maybe two great songs on a release. And I just felt like this was a solid start-to-finish album. You know, I'm 49. I grew up music in the 70s when, albums were released because it was an album of great music, not just a single.
Yeah.
And I
exactly.
felt this felt like that to me. It was like, all right, this feels like Back to the 70s where you got a great album.
Thank you. Because, that is what we set out to do. So I guess mission accomplished,
Good job. Good job. So, yeah. And nothing against In the Spotlight. I felt like that was a great album too. So I'm now excited for any new music you can release. It recharges me to know that you've still got great music in you.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
So why don't you know? Let's wrap this up. We're kind of hit a 20-minute mark here. Where can people find you online? Websites, Facebook, Twitter. Where do you want people to
Facebook,
track you down?
Twitter, everything. Website, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on everything. The official website is www.susiequattro.com. I'm going to be looking to do Unzipped. You know, I'm going to be putting that poetry book out there. I think that's going to get a lot of comments. A lot. I'm going to be making some new music and everything's. I'm kind of building up to 2014 because, like I said, that's the big celebration year.
Right, right. That's when you're going to be touring the U.S. You're going
to
have an anthology.
I would like to.
And you're going
to
have new music.
Absolutely.
No pressure.
I haven't got a problem with that.
That's awesome. Susie, thank you so much for sitting down and taking the time to chat with us and giving us a little update to what you've been doing. And, I'm so looking forward to just following what's going to be happening in the next, 12 to 24 months.
You've been listening to Dropping the Needle with Michael Brandvold and Mitch LaFon.